Opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of staff and management of WBIG Radio. This is your turn. The Big One, AM 1280 WBIG, presents your opportunity to voice your opinion on the air by dialing 585-1280. Your Turn is a daily open forum for conversation, including your thoughts, your comments, your opinions, and your ideas. To take your turn, dial 585-1280. That's area code 630-585-1280. Now here is your host and moderator, Ron Newman.
Good morning. It's 9:09 and a half. Yes, we have dumped out of the news, normally heard at 9:05, so that we might get into conversation with Tim Wingate. And by the way, Tim Wingate is the National Field Director for Consumers Against Supermarket Privacy Invasion and Numbering. It's called Caspian, for short. He is the founder of Carpe Libertas, which, according to you Latin scholars, means what?
Seize.
Oh, wait, let me turn on your mic. We might be able to hear you.
Oh, there we go.
Carpe Libertas.
I'm used to talking to myself anyway.
Yeah.
So.
What does it mean?
Seize liberty.
Seize liberty.
Remember there was that movie with Robin Williams years ago, and it was Carpe Diem, and everybody jumped on that.
Seize the day.
Okay. Seize the day. Same concept. Seize liberty. Because it's not something that will be given to you. You have to reach out and seize it.
Carpe Libertas Institute for Critical Reasoning, a liberty and legal strategy consulting organization. He's been married for 25 years, has three grown children. He's been a community activist organizer since 1987, helping to start several community interest and activist groups in Illinois and Missouri, by the way. He has been instrumental in exposing government corruption within the legal system in Illinois. He organized the activist branch of the Seize Liberty Network, the American Rights Movement, that exposed government corruption in DuPage County, Illinois. Mr. Wingate also conducts a seminar for activists that emphasizes a non-traditional, proactive approach to social and political problems, and he's also a founding partner in www.quietbuy.com, a private buying service. Tim, you've been in the studio with us more often than not this week, and I certainly appreciate your input into the shows that we've been doing here on Judicial Corruption Week. We will conclude tomorrow with Mark Sato. And before we get into the conversation today, I just want to briefly tell you a little bit about Mark Sato. He has an MBA, rather, from the Keller Graduate School. He's been an IBM systems engineer and an information technologies consultant. He ghostwrote for Bill Benson, The Law That Never Was, Parts 1 and 2, who, we had on the air with us.
Great.
A couple of years ago, and authored The United States of Babylon. Now, there's an intriguing title. He is a legal researcher and consultant. He has written extensively on the state of the courts and specifically on jurisdictional questions of the federal courts, which jurisdiction was one of the things that we talked about with T.J. Henderson yesterday. So Mark Sato will be in the studio live along with today's guest, Tim Wingate, who has been kind enough to offer his services as commentator and bringing up other issues. First of all, Tim, welcome back, and I really appreciate you taking a drive out here again to the studios. I know you've got a little bit of a drive to come out here. And so I wanted to address some things today that we really haven't covered yet as far as judicial corruption. And I guess maybe a good place to start here, perhaps, unless you have a better idea, and if you do, please say so. I thought it might be interesting to find out, people say, I don't know why all this big thing about judicial corruption. I've never been through the court system. Most people have never been through the court system.
That's true.
You know?
You're very fortunate if you...
That's right.
If you don't. The closest most people come to the court system is a traffic violation.
Right.
And most people and the state knows this, will pay the fine rather than go through the hassle of trying to prove that they're innocent.
That is correct. And so most of us, not having had any experience in the judicial system, and I'm one of them, you say, well, you know, this really doesn't affect me. I mean, you know, I'm a good person. I keep my nose clean. I stay out of trouble. I don't envision having any brushes with the law as far as criminal activity is concerned, although that gets increasingly difficult the more laws we pass in this state and in this country, and, of course, making everything a felony. We're going to report on a story tomorrow, by the way, that will rattle your teeth, guaranteed. I'm not even going to give you a clue as to what that is because I don't want to get off on that subject. But just pay attention to the news tomorrow morning.
I think maybe to help this, is that the printout? Sent to you earlier? Is there a quote at the very top from Louis Brandeis?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right. I don't happen to have that right in front of me at the moment. Basically, Louis Brandeis, one of the Supreme Court justices, said that, in effect, that judicial corruption affects us all, simply because what it does is it undermines the public's confidence in the judicial system. And when the public's confidence is undermined, or the confidence in the judicial system is undermined, our concept of right and wrong, morality, everything that we equate with the law, is completely compromised. And that then leads to a breakdown of society. Judicial corruption is very, very important because these people are actually an aristocracy within our society. They're given special privileges. They're given special immunities. And because of that, they're expected to live exemplary lives, which many of them don't, because what they've done is they've taken these immunities and these special privileges.
They've abused them.
They've abused them, and they've created a high wall around themselves that is very difficult to overcome. And they've also found ways of increasing their own wealth. Their privilege to information that most of us are not. They know what property is going into bankruptcy. They know what dispute is coming up, and regardless of all of their protestations about independence and etc., many judges, and this goes in all levels, have the opportunity to get an inside deal on distressed property or to make an inside deal on a decision and twist it in such a way that it benefits either themselves directly, and usually it happens, it's more indirect, that it benefits them. It's much like the congressman.
Which is even sleazier.
Well, yeah. See, it's a lot like the congressman. If I were to walk into a congressman and hand him $100 and say, hey, you know, I want you to vote this way. And he said, I can't take that money. That's a bribe. I can't do that. Well, on the other hand, if I say, well, how about we send you and your wife to Switzerland for a fact-finding mission on how well the ski ropes work? Well, gee, you know, that's an interesting junket we'll have to take. There's a lot of different ways.
Gee, I never thought of that, but that's a good idea.
Yeah.
When can I leave?
Yeah, it happens at all levels of government. Now, someone might say, well, you're cynical. Well, you're only cynical when you're confronted with the truth and you realize how bad things have gone. I'm also positive. Now, it sounds like a contradiction in terms. I'm cynical to that. The aspect of that, I don't think they're self-correcting. I don't think they can fix themselves. I'm positive in the aspect that I think that we as the people can make it happen.
I don't know. I'd have to go down to the car and get it. I don't know how many people. I wonder if any of the listeners have ever seen Whistleblower Magazine. Basically, the whole issue of this month's Whistleblower Magazine is dedicated to this idea of separation of church and state, which, by the way, was created by none other than the court system.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've done it very slowly over time, but I don't want to give anything away. Maybe we can quote from the article later, you know, later in the show if I go out and get the book, or maybe in another show, but... If you look at the chronology of what happened to the First Amendment, as far as where the it says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion mm-hmm. or the free exercise thereof, which they always ignore that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
They always ignore that. And it's interesting how that changed and where we are today and why. And it's all because of the judicial system.
Well, that goes back to the checks and the balances and the separations
right.
of power. And I think I alluded to this the other day, and that was that I believe it is Anti-Federalist Paper number 17, and that was Richard Henry Lee who wrote under the pseudonym of Brutus. And within that, he comments on how that a central or a federal judiciary will eventually corrupt, will join with the executive branch, and basically what they'll do is they'll co-opt out the legislative branch because they will start to rule by judicial fiat.
Amazing. You know, we've got a caller on the line. Let's take a quick call here. 585-1280. You're on the air with Tim Wingate. Good morning.
And within that, he comments on how that a central...
yeah, okay. Caller, it's going to take a few seconds for you to even hear what I'm saying because you're listening on the Internet. But if you want to talk on the radio, you have got to shut the computer sound down and get on the air with me. 585-1280, you are on the air right now, which she is, we'll hear that about 8 seconds later.
Okay.
There we go. Hi, hon. Welcome back. You're the lady from Arizona?
Yes, I
yeah.
am.
Yeah. Welcome back. Arlene, right?
Yes.
Yeah, welcome back.
Well, my point was the government has to obey the law. And I feel Chris Larson turned my comment around on me by the politician's comment that we have to pay taxes, maybe lower it a little bit to make it right.
Yeah.
It still doesn't make it lawful.
Arlene, do you remember back when during the Clinton scandal and everyone made a big deal about when Clinton said, well, it depends what is?
Yes.
That's one of the few things I actually agreed with him on, because he was correct in the semantical usage
of the noun.
Of the exactly, it's what the is, and law is all based in interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would agree. I'm an originalist. I like to go back to the original intent, the original meanings. I think that the founders created the Constitution. I think the founders of the state, we've adopted several different kinds of constitutions. But in the latest one, I think, was from the 1970, was when that occurred. Make a long story short, it is the interpretation of the law. And unfortunately, that's where the courts come in. The courts then interpret the law as to what it's supposed to mean and also how it gets enforced. And if the courts can be corrupted or influenced, it doesn't make any difference what is what they say it is. And that's the biggest problem that we're facing.
Right. But isn't it a fact that Bill Clinton knew the fraud of our money system?
Oh, they all have known that, Arlene. This is an old story. It comes down to this. We the people, and Bob Scholz, I think, really brought the whole thing out the best way. We the people have got to unite underneath a big enough mass movement together so that simultaneously we can move on our servants and say, look, obey the law. We can also then influence the court system and tell these judges, look, don't try to fake us out and tell us that you're independent. We know you're not independent. You're voting to maintain the status quo. I mean, come on, let's be realistic here. What federal judge who's paid by the federal government is going to vote to have his retirement and his federal pay reduced or eliminated? It's not going to happen. Let's be realistic here. This pretense of the objectivity of judges and the pretense of the objectivity of the law, that's ridiculous. We're adults here. Let's call it for what it is. It's fraud. and we've been frauded, and because we've been frauded, I think we have a right to speak out on it. And I agree with Bob Scholes 100% in that we have to take the first steps. And unfortunately, being around in the Patriot movement for the last 25 years or so, I've never yet seen any group follow all the steps necessary or even completely imitate the founding fathers in what they did to justify their separation from England.
Arlene, I want to thank you for the call, dear. I realize that you're calling long distance from the great state of Arizona. I would encourage you to continue listening on the internet and listen to the rest of the show, because the rest of it promises to be interesting, and tomorrow as well.
Well, hasn't dropped since bell bottoms were in the first time, and if you're eating with me, you might want to...
Big sounds can do to your ears the rest of the time. Millions of Americans live with hazardous noise levels every day. And we don't just mean rock stars. A kitchen blender hits 85 decibels. The noise level audiologists know can cause permanent hearing loss. No need to wear earplugs when you make a banana smoothie. But if you're in the 85 decibel range for long periods, day after day, your hearing is at risk. People who work in nightclubs, who use power tools, who listen to music with headphones, are especially vulnerable. For more on the 85 decibel danger zone and ways to protect your hearing health, visit ASHA.org. That's ASHA.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association, reminding you to keep an eye on your ears.
Your comments and your opinions are what counts during your turn. Dial 585-1280, 630-585-1280. Now here's Ron Newman.
And welcome back. 9:32. And I think that I would have to agree with both you, Tim Wingate, and Arlene that called in from Arizona, because it's too tempting, and it's something that we have all fallen into. You get to arguing politics. Well, you know, I think you should vote for this candidate, or I'm voting for this one. Well, what are you voting for that guy for? And da-da-da, you should be voting for this one. And all the political stuff. You have to separate yourself from that. Because if you start arguing politics, it's like arguing religion. Nobody's ever going to agree on anything.
That's
and
true.
And then you have chaos. Okay? Nothing gets done.
Mm-hmm.
What the whole premise of We the People Congress, and if I'm wrong, you jump right in there and tell me. But it seems to me, from the information that I got out of that small luncheon that we had, or short luncheon, I should say, over at Denny's the other day, is the essence of it, of what Bob was saying, was this. We have, in this country, a rule book. It's called the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The U.S. Constitution lays down the limits on government, not us.
Correct.
It limits government as to what kind of power they have, what they can do.
Correct.
It specifically lists the things that government can do. If it's not mentioned, they can't do it.
That's true.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. The problem is most people are not educated that way.
That's right.
And that's one of the reasons many of us don't like the public school system, because the public school system de facto, if you will,
yep,
is teaching that the state is sovereign.
Well, it is not. This country, folks, was created by we, the people. We created Congress. We can do away with it. We created the judicial system. We can dispose of it.
Yes, but there are proper ways to do that. And that's what I was alluding to before, is that we haven't yet, and I'm a student of history, and I have yet to see any in the Patriot, so-called Patriot movement, the so-called tax freedom movement, the freedom movement in general. And I would even go all the way back to the war of separation between the states. The Southerners had it generally right, but they didn't follow through. There was not that listing and those petitions for a redress of grievances weren't laid out. They kind of jumped the gun, so to speak. Just about every other patriot movement of sorts has jumped the gun. And as far as I can tell, We the People organization is the only one so far that has actually said, look, we're going to take it. It's going to be a slower process, but we're going to do it the right way. We're going to create the correctly, morally justified, philosophical high road position so that when and if, we'll put it that way, if and when we have to make a separation, we are justified in doing it legally and morally. That's the only way to do it. Other than that, you're dealing with some very serious consequences the other way. And you know, I feel for the people who, with the taxes and all these situations, most of us, we want to get right up in their face. We want to be antagonistic. We want to, you know, demand that we're going to do this, we're not going to do that. But the reality is we all benefit to some degree. We're all in a situation where we haven't extricated ourselves from the system enough to where we can justify saying, I'm not going to pay. Don't get me wrong. I think the arguments are right. And let me just go back to this one thing. Here's the thing. I also was raised in what is called the discipline of rhetoric, so to speak, logic, semantics, dealing with the whole logical concept. And what you start off with is what you have, a premise. A premise can be sound and true. And what you want to do is build your argument, which is your syllogism. You build that to come to a conclusion which is true and sound as well. When you get to that conclusion, depending on your syllogism or your argument, you may have a true but unsound conclusion, and you may have a sound but untrue conclusion. But you have to start with the premise, and that is one of the main things that I learned early on. Don't waste your time with all the arguments on theory, whether it's religious theory, whether it's legal theory, whether it's political theory. Go to the basic premise. If the premise is sound and if the premise is true, that's what you build upon. And I think that's what Bob with We the People Foundation and the plan with the We the People Congress, I think that's exactly what it does, is it cuts right through all the politics, cuts right through all the stuff. And, you know, I kind of hate sounding like a shill for this, but it's one of the best organizations that I've seen come along dealing with this. And this is the last point I'm going to make about that. What I like about it, it's nothing more than just an umbrella organization. Nobody's telling anybody to stop working within their particular interest. Now, I'm involved with Caspian, and we're against all these spy chips that they're starting to put in. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great issue, and that's one thing that I can help, you know, some of my efforts are concentrated on. That's, nobody's being asked to give up the banner that they want to particularly carry. The issue is we have to have mass action. If we can at least unite underneath one banner, so to speak, of We the People as a Congress or a gathering that get together and say, look, this is a direction we're going to go, I think we can make some change. We can save this country.
You know what? We have a caller from California.
Excellent.
Listening on the internet. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
Wow, I appreciate you getting up so early.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been getting up all week to hear this show every
year. Well, bless your heart. What part of California in, Bruce?
In the Central Valley, Fresno.
Well, what's on your mind, and thanks for calling in. Good morning.
Well, absolutely. You know, you had Justin Garriott on earlier this week. And
that was Friday, yes.
Right, and T.J. Henderson yesterday.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they were talking about something that I'm kind of interested in, and that's the counselor at law practice.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, if someone wanted to pursue that line of, I don't know, maybe not for a job or a work, but I mean just for their own personal edification, what would they do? I mean, I know Justin has a place in Chicago, I guess, that he does that, or somewhere close by there, but do you know if there's a place in California where you can learn things like that?
Oh, I'm sure there probably are. I've been to many of the so-called patriot gatherings where you'll have different vendors who will put out their wares of how to teach you to be a pro se, pro per, belligerent claimant in person type of stuff. There's tons of material out there. To learn how to do that, and there are people in California, because California has been a hotbed a lot of this particular movement. So has Oregon, for that matter. So a specific clearinghouse on where to go for that, to be quite honest with you, I would have a hard time. But I'll tell you what, if you
is there a number he could call?
Yes, here's what I'll have you do.
Okay.
Email me. At my email.
Tim Wingate.
Correct. But here's my email for everybody.
Okay.
It's seizeliberty@comcast.com. I'm sorry, net. I always forget. Comcast.net. Now, seize is one of those interesting Anglo-French words where the E is before the I.
Right. I used to teach school.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Actually, when you look at it, it looks like Seizel Liberty, but it's seizeliberty@comcast.net, and I will respond. You can also email me at through my website.
Right, I've been there.
Seizeliberty.com.
Right. May I make one more comment?
Sure.
Cost you $5, though.
In fact, I'll mention, on my website, I have links to hundreds of organizations.
Okay.
What else is on your mind, Bruce?
Well, you know, you mentioned the public schools and what they teach in the public schools. I used to teach history in the 7th and 8th grade.
I bet you used to teach it right, too.
Well, until they told me I couldn't.
Oh, boy.
I was teaching children in my room that we lived in a constitutional republic, and they told me I had to teach them from the state text that we lived in a democracy, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
So anyway, I really thank you for taking my call. And
thanks for calling, Bruce.
I'll listen online.
All right, very good, and you can get my email address from Tim, too, when you write to him.
Oh, great.
All right, Bruce, thanks
so much
for the call.
Thanks for the great job you guys.
And give our best to your governor.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that's great. California. We've heard from several different states on this series here. 585-1280, Bill in West Chicago. Listen, Bill, before you say anything, I just want to thank you for allowing the gentleman from California to go in ahead of you.
No, that's not a problem at all. It was refreshing to hear somebody with principles speak.
Yeah.
You know, not that you gentlemen don't. I'm just, I was just saying that.
I was going to ask you if you were pointing an accusing finger.
No, I'm living in the state of confusion here. So you're getting California, Arizona, and
you know Tim, right?
Yes, we've met.
Yes, okay.
The first thing I want to say is that this Saturday night, the 13th, at 7 o'clock at Luigi's Restaurant on Prairie in Aurora, AIPAC is having its Christmas / let's say Bill of Rights party.
Really?
Right.
Oh, that's excellent.
So, everybody, there's free food catered by Luigi's, and the food is great, so stop by. It'll be from, say, 7 to 9:30. 10 o'clock about the latest is when they kind of close up and want everybody out of there. But, you know, everybody who's listening is more than welcome, and we hope there's a big turnout.
All right, and Tim said in case he can't make it Saturday night, he has authorized me to eat his share of the pizza.
There you go. Now, the one point that I wanted to make is on the front page of the Tribune today is campaign reform law upheld. Now, you want to talk about an attack on the Constitution and your First Amendment rights.
Yeah, there you go.
The Supreme Court upheld that on a 5-4 decision. And the only thing I can say about that, I guess about the simplest thing I could say about that, is a quote from Jefferson where it says, "Judges should be withdrawn from the bench whose erroneous biases are leading us to disillusion. It may indeed injure them in fame or fortune, but it saves the Republic." And I think there's about seven of those judges that should be.
Yeah, especially after that decision that they made I think, what was it, last week? I'm trying to look for it right here, on the Fourth Amendment thing, the wait 20 seconds,
oh,
knock on the door.
The 20-second knock.
Yeah,
the 20-second knock. That's ridiculous.
And the failure to hear the Severo Lockyer case on the Second Amendment issue.
Right. I would, you know, here's Bill, I agree with you on that one as well. When it comes to that, what they do, the unintended consequences are that, is that if that's the case, if the police can wait 20 seconds and then storm into the house, I'm going to work on securing all the entrances to my home so that they can wait 20 seconds and it still take them 5 minutes to get in. You know, there are unintended consequences. If the government's going to start doing this kind of thing, well, then we can push back and we can start making some provisions for that.
I mean,
it is ridiculous.
Are there provisions in there that the announcement has to be heard?
Well, no,
let us in.
Yeah, they don't say how loud they have to do it. It's,
yeah, they'll go.
They just have to announce themselves.
They'll go.
Yep. You hear that? 20 seconds and the door comes off the hinge.
Exactly. And they have those battering rams. If anyone's ever seen that that public relations puff piece called the program Cops, where it's just, you know, hey, we're your police state. Join with us. Cheer with us as we run down these people.
And what happens when the door comes off the hinges and somebody comes in masked with a gun?
Oh, don't even get me going on all the wrong houses that have been broken into and the innocent parties who have been injured.
Oh, come on, they always get the right house.
Or what happens to you as an individual if, perchance, you just happen to be sitting at your table with a loaded firearm and that door comes off the hinges and this guy comes through and you drop him? No.
You're justified, usually. But you'll be riddled with bullets.
Oh, no, you'll be broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And bounced around the court system. And
well, if you survive.
If you survive.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's ridiculous. No, I agree with Jefferson. The problem is, this is part of the fraud. This is part, you see, the original intent was to create an independent judiciary that wasn't going to be influenced by politics, that couldn't be influenced by the executive branch or the legislative branch, and they were going to be free to interpret whether or not the laws were actually constitutional.
But they didn't look at the party system back then.
Exactly, and now because of the law being changed that federal judges can be taxed by the income tax, there's leverage there that can be applied upon them by the executive branch as well. So it's a myth.
Time out. Bill?
Yeah.
I'm already 3 minutes late for a commercial break, and it's a long one.
Okay, no problem. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Luigi's.
Be there.
Thanks,
or be
Bill.
Square.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. 585-1280.
Grandma, Mommy says your holiday recipe's a secret.
Well, dear, because you're my favorite, I've decided to pass them on to you.
Wow!
I go to GFS Marketplace.
Huh?
Gordon Food Service Marketplace. I shop for all my holiday events, small or large. It's easy to get in and out, and the service is absolutely wonderful, unlike those crowded superstores. At GFS, there's over 3,000 quality products, including pre-cooked meals, ready to warm and pop in my good china.
You mean everything but your famous jalap potatoes?
No, dear.
Your meatballs?
No.
You mean your holiday cookies?
Yes, GFS pre-shaped dough.
Mommy wouldn't pay to go to a club.
Oh, no, my dear, GFS Marketplace has no membership fees.
So Mom could host a holiday dinner?
No, dear. That's our little secret.
GFS Marketplace with 9 convenient Chicagoland locations. See your Yellow Pages under Party Supplies for the location nearest you.
Welcome to Pal Joy's Restaurant and Lounge in West Chicago. Family owned and operated for 30 years, Pal Joy's is open daily for lunch and dinner and features such specialties as pan pizza, New York strip sirloin, chicken marsala, spaghetti carbonara, fresh seafood, pork, and more. Pal Joy's is available to cater for any size party, and our banquet room can accommodate up to 75 people for your holiday get-togethers. Call 630-231-9393. What are you waiting for? Pal Joy's is at 922 East Roosevelt Road, just east of Route 59 in West Chicago.
Theater of Western Springs presents their holiday show, Miracle on 34th Street, December 5th through the 14th. This beloved American Christmas story, made famous by Jimmy Stewart, is a story of a kindly old man who thinks he's Santa Claus. This heartwarming story tells the tale of a family with little faith and a kind old man who brings the holiday spirit back to an entire city. Celebrate the joy of the season with this family classic, Miracle on 34th Street, at the Theater of Western Springs, December 5th through the 14th. Call 708-246-4043 for performance times and ticket info for Miracle on 34th Street. The holidays are here. How many parties will you be invited to? How many people will attend your party or just stop by? Not sure if you're exchanging gifts with neighbors or co-workers? Be prepared. Come in and stock up at DiCarlo's Armanetti Fine Wines and Liquors on Route 83 near Plainfield Road in Willowbrook. They have the best prices and always have your favorites in stock, including exclusive edition liquors, beers, and wines from around the world. And here's the best part. Have plenty and return what you don't use. Yes, make your party purchase on consignment and return any unused bottles for a full refund. DiCarlo's Armanetti also delivers right to your front door. While at DiCarlo's Armanetti Liquors on Route 83 in Willowbrook, ask about joining DiCarlo's Armanetti Wine Club and receive discounts and exclusive offers for members only. Stop in at Route 83 near Plainfield Road in Willowbrook or call 630-654-0988 to check out this month's specials. You can also look us up at DiCarloWine.com. Happy holidays from DiCarlo's Armanetti Liquors in Willowbrook.
Welcome back. Tim Wingate in the studio with us. Tim's got a couple of things he wants to tell you about, I know. But before we do that, Tim, I've got a guy that's been waiting on hold here for quite some time. His name is Ken. He is out in Earlville, Illinois. And I understand that your family was involved. You've been there since the beginning.
Since 1852.
Wow.
And matter of fact, my aunt has the original passport of my ancestors when they came over from Germany.
Oh,
and you know, this is kind of, your topic is quite relevant because you look up in the history in the 1840s and 50s what was going on in Germany, and my ancestors and all the immigrants that came over at that time, you know, they were fleeing the type of government that we're becoming reestablished.
You're absolutely right.
That's right.
In fact, there's a real good section in a book by Claire Wolfe and Aaron Zellman with Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, jpfo.org, I think it is. And it's the Is America Becoming a Police State? And what they do is they point out that the Prussian system, not only of education, but of police state management, is basically what we're adopting.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm very aware of that, partly because I had, my grandmother was actually born in Germany in 1879 or so, and then she came over when she was a little girl. Her family came over. Matter of fact, there was another wave of immigrants fled there in around the turn of the century.
Ken, I don't mean to rush you, buddy, but I got to ask you if did you have a specific question, because we're running out of time here.
Yeah, well, my specific question was whenever we discuss the law in the Supreme Court, and I'm not gonna say religion because that's a deception, but the foundations, isn't this really the problem with this judicial system? Is we don't have a foundation, as you know, it was the law, not a law, and there's a foundation for the law of which our forefathers and the Constitution they put on there.
No individual.
It's not their idea. Inalienable right.
Ken, okay. Do you know what that foundation is?
The Constitution.
It's the Bible.
Right.
It's basically the conglomeration of Western Christianity was the basis, but there was also other things. The Enlightenment did have quite a bit to do with the foundation of this country and the philosophies. It was a combination of things.
Ken, I want to thank you for the call and give our best to the good people of Earlville.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Will.
585. Yep, thank you. 585-1280. I want to give you an opportunity. If you know, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I know that you do seminars on this very thing, and and other things, too.
Right. What I've done...
I just wanted you to tell people about it. You know, if you want to find out more, you can. You say, well, what is all this talk about We the People Congress? What is all this talk about, quote-unquote, the rule book? And going back to that. Tim Wingate, what do you have to offer people?
Well, what we've done is, because I've been involved in this so many years and I've seen so many people burn out and frustrate themselves. Claire Wolfe, who is one of my favorite authors, wrote a book called Think Free to Live Free, The Political Burnout's Guide to Life, Activism, and Everything. And what I've done is I've taken her book, with her permission and her endorsement, we've created the Power of Positive Patriotism seminar. And what this whole concept is for anyone who cares about principles and causes, regardless of what your political position is. Anyone who's been involved passionately and you're tired and you're wondering, why have I even bothered doing these things? And it is, quite frankly, it's for politically passionate people who, in reality, we're idealists in motion. We're out there, we're doing these things. So the whole concept of the seminar and what it'll do is it'll help you put your political activities into perspective, and it'll help you build a more satisfying life and to help you be more effective in your political work. Now, even if you're not political in nature, this will help you center yourself on who you are, why you are the way you are, and what you can do about it. So we're setting up to do one coming up in the spring. If people want to be on, to be notified when, where, how much, all the particulars, they need to contact me through either the website, seizeliberty.com, or my email address, seizeliberty@comcast.net.
Very good. I think we've got time for one more phone call anyway. Caller, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for your guest. And
all right, go ahead, because we're short here.
What do you do if all of a sudden right now we do away with the government as it is, and all the shuck and jive, pie in the sky is gone?
No, nobody said that, Larry.
But if we got rid of all of it today,
we're not talking about eliminating. We're not talking about eliminating, Larry. We're not talking about trying to create a vacuum or anything like that. What we're doing is just simply saying, let's follow the procedure according to the rule book to go for a peaceful, lawful, and legal change in the way that we're doing things. We're wanting to call our servants into accountability.
You see, the thing is, Larry, they're stepping outside the box.
Well, they've been doing it for 40 years.
Listen, it doesn't make any difference that they've been doing it for 600 years. They're stepping outside the box. Larry.
Yeah.
They are going beyond their limitations set forth in the Constitution of the United States. They are doing things that they have no right and no legal grounds to do. We have to let them know that we know they're doing this, and we have to get them to go back in the box.
And what happens if everybody standing there after they're removed gets burned?
Nobody's saying
that. Well, we don't know what's going to happen, Larry. To a great extent, it is a crapshoot, because we don't know whether or not they're going to follow the law. When we present them with the law, they may just stand there and say, and be obstinate and say, no, absolutely not. We're going to do things our way because we have the legal, we have the authority, we have the force of arms, we can make this happen. We don't want that. Nobody wants violence. That's absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't solve things. But we can't use the court systems because the court systems are corrupt. But we will use the court systems to create the record that we tried.
Well,
we tried to correct it their way. So, you know, it's go to the givemeliberty.org website and read what the We the People organization has got posted there as to what the plan is.
I have to run the closing theme here in about 2 seconds, but I wanted to let people know that tomorrow Mark Sato will be our guest to wrap up Judicial Corruption Week. He will be here live in the studio along with today's guest, Tim Wingate. You guys work together occasionally, don't you?
Yes, we do occasionally, and we're in a couple lawsuits together on the federal level as well. So Mark's a great guy. I've learned a lot of things from him. He's been around for a while.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a great guy and a good sport, because you've taken several trips in here this week to do these shows with us. And
my pleasure.
Take phone calls and things like that. I really appreciate it. We will see you again tomorrow with Mark Sato, S-A-T-O. right here on the big one. By the way, does he have a website in 15 seconds?
No.
Okay. But we will talk to you tomorrow. Stay tuned. There's lots more coming up here on AM 1280. And we will see you tomorrow on Part 6 as we wrap up Judicial Corruption Week here on AM 1280.